He waited while most filed out, then said, "Manuel, I can't accept your resignation. Nor can I let you chivy me into hasty action concerning Gospodin Wright, not when we are tired and overwrought. It would be better if you two were to exchange apologies, each realizing that the other has been overstrained." I turned to Finn. "Has he been fighting?" I indicated Wright. "Huh? Hell no. At least he's not in my outfits. How about it, Wright? Did you fight when they invaded us?" Wright said stiffly, "I had no opportunity. By the time I knew of it, it was over. But now both my bravery and my loyalty have been impugned. I shall insist—" "Oh, shut up," I said. "If duel is what you want, can have it first moment I'm not busy. Prof, since he doesn't have strain of fighting as excuse for behavior, I won't apologize to a yammerhead for being a yammerhead. And you don't seem to understand issue. You let this yammerhead climb on my back and didn't even try to stop him. So either fire him or fire me." Finn said suddenly, "I match that, Prof. Either fire this louse or fire us both." He looked at Wright. "About that duel, Chum. You're going to fight me first. You got two arms, Manny hasn't."
"Don't need two arms for him, but thanks, Finn."
Wyo was crying. Could feel it, though couldn't hear it. Prof said to her, most sadly, "Wyoming,
I'm sorry, Prof. Me too."
Only Clayton, Watanabe, Judge Brody, Wolfgang, Stu, and Sheeny were left. Handful accounted, war cabinet. Prof looked at them. I could see they were with me, though it cost Wolfgang an effort. He worked with Prof, not with me. Prof looked back at me and said softly, "Manuel, it works both ways. What you're doing is forcing me to resign." He looked around. "Good night, comrades. Or rather, good morning. I'm going to get some badly needed rest." He walked briskly out without looking back. Wright was gone. I didn't see him leave. Finn said, "What about these cruisers, Manny?" I took deep breath. "Nothing earlier than Saturday afternoon. But you ought to evacuate Taco under. Can't talk now. Groggy." Agreed to meet him there at 2100, then let Wyo lead me away. Think she put me to bed, but, don't remember. 27. Prof was there when I met Finn in Warden's office shortly before 2100 Friday. Had had 9 hours sleep. Bath, breakfast Wyo had fetched from somewhere, and a talk with Mike. Everything going to revised plan. Ships had not changed ballistic. Great China strike about to happen. Got to office in time to see strike by video. All okay, and effectively over by 2101. And Prof got down to business. Nothing said about Wright, or about the resigning. Never saw Wright again. I mean, I never saw him again. Nor ask about him. Prof didn't mention Rao, so I didn't. We went over news and tactical situation. Wright had been correct in saying that thousands of lives had been lost. News up from our side was full of it. How many, we'll never know. If a person stands at ground zero and tons of rock land on him, isn't much left. Those they could count were ones farther away, killed by blast. Call it 50,000 in North America. Never will understand people. We spent 3 days warning them, and you couldn't say they hadn't heard warnings. That was why they were there. To see show. To laugh at our nonsense. To get souvenirs. Whole families went to targets. Some with picnic baskets. Picnic baskets! Bourgeois! And now those alive were yelling for our blood for this senseless slaughter. Duh. Hadn't been any indignation over their invasion and nuclear bombing of us 4 days earlier. But oh, were they sore over our premeditated murder. Great New York Times demanded that entire lunar rebel government be fetched Earthside and publicly executed.
This is clearly a case in which the humane rule against capital punishment must be waived in the greater interest of all mankind. Try not to think about it. Justice had been forced not to think too much about Ludmilla. Little Milla hadn't carried a picnic lunch. She hadn't been a sightseer looking for thrills. Tycho Under was pressing problem. If those ships bombed Warrens, and news from Earthside was demanding exactly that, Tycho Under could not take it. Roof was thin. H-bomb would decompress all levels. Airlocks aren't built for H-bomb blasts. Still don't understand people. Terra was supposed to have an absolute ban against using H-bombs on people. That was what FN was all about. Yet, were loud yells for FN to H-bomb us. They quit claiming that our bombs were nuclear, but all North America seemed frothingly anxious to have us nuke-bombed. Don't understand loonies, for that matter. Finn had sent word through his militia that Tycho Under must be evacuated, and Proof had repeated it over video. Nor was it a problem. Tycho Under was small enough that Novalin and El City could doss and dine them. We could convert enough capsules to move them all in 24 hours, dump them into Novalin, and encourage half of them to go on to El City. A big job, but no problems. Minor problems. Start compressing city's air while evacuating people, so as to save it. Decompress fully at end to minimize damage. Move as much food as was time for. Cofferdam access to lower farm tunnels, so forth. All things we knew how to do, and was still Yagi and militia and municipal maintenance people had organization to do. Had they started evacuating? Hear that hollow echo? Were capsules lined up nose to tail at Tycho Under, and no room to send more till some left, and weren't moving? Manny, said Finn, don't think they are going to evacuate. Damn it, I said. They've got to. When we spot a missile headed for Tycho Under, we'll be too late. You'll have people trampling people, trying to crowd into capsules that won't hold them. Finn, your boys have got to make them. Proof shook his head. No, Manuel. I said angrily, Proof, you carry this no-coercion idea too far. You know they'll riot. Then they'll riot. But we will continue with persuasion, not force. Let us now review plans. Plans weren't much, but were best we could do. Warn everybody about expected bombings and or invasion. Rotate guards from Finn's militia, above each Warren, starting when, and if, cruisers passed around Luna into blind space, far side. Not get caught flat-footed again. Maximum pressure and pea-suit precautions, all Warrens. All military and semi-military to go on blue alert 1600 Saturday. Red alert if missiles launched or ships maneuvered. Brody's gunners encouraged to go into town and get drunk or whatever, returning by 1500 Saturday. Prof's idea. Finn wanted to keep half of them on duty. Prof said no, they would be in better shape for a long vigil if they relaxed and enjoyed cells first. I agreed with Prof. As for bombing Terra, we made no changes in first rotation. We're getting anguished responses from India. No news from Great China. Yet India had little to moan about. Had not used a grid on her, too heavily populated. Aside from picking spots in Thar Desert and some peaks, targets were coastal waters off seaports. But should have picked higher mountains or given less warning. Seemed from news that some holy men, followed by endless pilgrims, chose to climb each target peak and hold off our retaliation by sheer spiritual strength. So, we were murderers again. Besides that, our water shots killed millions of fish and many fishermen, as fishermen and other seafarers had not heeded warnings. Indian government seemed as furious over fish as over fishermen. But principle of sacredness of all life did not apply to us. They wanted our heads. Africa and Europe responded more sensibly, but differently. Life has never been sacred in Africa, and those who went sightseeing on targets got little bleeding heart treatment. Europe had a day to learn that we could hit where we promised and that our bombs were deadly. People killed? Yes, especially bull-headed sea captains. But not killed in empty-headed swarms, as in India and North America. Casualties were even lighter in Brazil and other parts of South America. Then was North America's turn again. 0950.28, Saturday, 17 October 76. Mike timed it for exactly 1,000 hour time, which, allowing for one day's progress of Luna in orbit and for rotation of Terra, caused North America to face toward us at 0500 their East Coast time and 0200 their West Coast time. But argument as to what to do with this targeting had started early Saturday morning. Prof had not called meeting of War Cabinet, but they showed up anyhow, except Clayton Watanabe, who had gone back to Kongville to take charge of defenses. Prof, Self, Finn, Wyo, Judge Brody, Wolfgang, Stu, Terence Sheehan, which made 8 different opinions. Prof is right. More than 3 people can't decide anything. 6 opinions, should say, for Wyo kept pretty mouth shut, and so did Prof. He moderated. But others were noisy enough for 18. Stu didn't care what we hit, provided New York Stock Exchange opened on Monday morning. We sold short in 19 different directions on Thursday. If this nation is not to be bankrupt before it's out of its cradle, my buy orders covering the shorts had better be executed. Tell them, Wolf. Make them understand. Brody wanted to use catapult to smack any more ships leaving parking orbit. Judge knew nothing about ballistics, simply understood that his drillmen were in exposed positions. I didn't argue, as most remaining loads were already in slow orbits, and rest would be soon. I didn't think we would have old catapult much longer. Sheeny thought it would be smart to repeat that grid while placing one load exactly on main building of North American Directorate. I know Americans. I was one before they shipped me. They're sorry as hell they ever turned things over to FN. Knock off those bureaucrats and they'll come over to our side. Wolfgang Korsakov, to Stu's disgust, thought that their speculations might do better if all stock exchanges were closed till it was over. Finn wanted to go for broke, warned them to get those ships out of our sky, then hit them for real if they didn't. Sheeny is wrong about Americans. I know them, too. N.A. is toughest part of F.N. They're the ones to lick. They're already calling us murderers, so now we've got to hit them hard. Hit American cities, and we can call off the rest. I slid out. Talked with Mike, made notes, went back in. They were still arguing. Prof looked up as I sat down. Field Marshal, you have not expressed your opinion. I said, Prof, can't we lay off that Field Marshal nonsense? Children are in bed. Can't afford to be honest. As you wish, Manuel. Been waiting to see if any agreement would be reached. Was none. Don't see why I should have an opinion, I went on. I am just errand boy here because I know how to program ballistic computer. Said this looking straight at Wolfgang, a number one comrade but a dirty word intellectual. I'm just a mechanic whose grammar isn't much while Wolf graduated from a fancy school, Oxford, before they convicted him. He deferred to Proof but rarely to anybody else. Stu? Da, but Stu had fancy credentials too. Wolf stirred uneasily and said, Oh, come. Manny, of course we want your opinions. Don't have any. Bombing plan was worked up carefully. Everybody had chance to criticize. Haven't seen anything to justify changing it. Prof said, Manuel, will you review the second bombardment of North America for the benefit of all of us? Okay. Purpose of second smearing is to force them to use up interceptor rockets. Every shot is aimed at big cities. At null targets, I mean. Close to big cities. Which we will tell them. Shortly before we hit them. How soon, Sheeny? We're telling them now. But we can change it. And should. As may be. Propaganda isn't my pigeon. In most cases, to aim close enough to force them to intercept, we have to use water targets. Rough enough, besides killing fish and anybody who won't stay off water. It causes tremendous local storms and shore damage. Glanced at watch. Saw I would have to stall. Seattle gets one in Puget Sound right in her lap. San Francisco is going to lose 2 bridges she's fond of. Los Angeles gets one between Long Beach and Catalina, and another a few kilometers up coast. Mexico City is inland, so we put one on Popocatépetl, where they can see it. Salt Lake City gets one in her lake. Denver we ignore. They can see what's happening in Colorado Springs. For we smack Cheyenne Mountain again and keep it up, just as soon as we have it in line of sight. St. Louis and Kansas City get shots in the rivers, and so does New Orleans. Probably flood New Orleans. All Great Lake cities get it. A long list. Shall I read it?
Later, perhaps, said Prof.
Go ahead. Boston gets one in her harbor, New York gets one in Long Island Sound, and another midway between her two biggest bridges.
I think it will ruin those bridges, but we promise to miss them, and will.
Going down the East Coast, we give treatment to two Delaware Bay cities, then two on Chesapeake Bay, one being of max historical and sentimental importance. Farther south, we catch three more big cities with sea shots. Going inland, we smack Cincinnati, Birmingham, Chattanooga, Oklahoma City, all with river shots or nearby mountains. Oh yes, Dallas. We destroyed Dallas spaceport and should catch some ships. We're six there last time I checked. Won't kill any people unless they insist on standing on target. Dallas is perfect place to bomb. That spaceport is big and flat and empty, yet 10 million people will see us hit it.
If you hit it, said Sheeny.
When, not if. Each shot is backed up by one an hour later. If neither one gets through, we have shots farther back which can be diverted. For example, easy to shift targets among Delaware Bay, Chesapeake Bay group. Same for Great Lakes group. But Dallas has its own string of backups, and a long one. We expect it to be heavily defended. Backups run about 6 hours, as long as we can see North America. Unless backups can be placed anywhere on continent. Since farther out a load is, when we divert it, farther we can shift it.
I don't follow that, said Brody.
A matter of vectors, Judge.
A guidance rocket can give a load so many meters per second of side vector.
Longer that vector has to work, farther from original point of aim load will land. If we signal a guidance rocket 3 hours before impact, we displace impact three times as much as if we waited till 1 hour before impact. Not quite that simple, but our computer can figure it, if you give it time enough.
How long is time enough?
Asked Wolfgang. I carefully misunderstood. Computer can solve that sort of problem almost instantaneously once you program it. But such decisions are pre-programmed. Something like this. If, out of target group A, B, C, and D, you find that you have failed to hit three targets on first and second salvos, you reposition all Group 1 second backups so that you will be able to choose those three targets while distributing other second backups of that group for possible use on Group 2 while repositioning third backups of Supergroup Alpha, such that...
Slow up, said Wolfgang. I'm not a computer. I just want to know how long before we have to make up our minds.
Oh, I studied watch, showily. You'll now have, 3 minutes, 58 seconds in which to abort leading load for Kansas City. Abort program is set up, and I have my best assistant, a fellow named Mike, standing by. Shall I phone him?
Sheeny said, for heaven's sakes, man, abort.
Like hell, said Finn. What's the matter, Terence? No guts?
Prof said,
comrades, please.
They said, look, I take orders from head of state, Prof over there. If he wants opinions, he'll ask. No use yelling at each other. I looked at watch. Call it, 2.5 minutes. More margin, of course, for other targets. Kansas City is farthest from deep water. But some Great Lake cities are already past ocean abort. Lake Superior is best we can do. Salt Lake City, maybe an extra minute. Then they pile up. I waited.
Roll call, said Prof.
To carry out the program, General Nielsen?
Da!
Gospodja Davis.
Wyo cut breath.
Da.
Judge Brody?
Yes, of course. Necessary.
Wolfgang?
Yes.
Comte Lejoie?
Da.
Gospodin Sheehan?
Yeah, missing a bet, but I'll go along.
Unanimous. One moment. Manuel?
Is up to you, Prof. Always has been. Voting is silly.
I am aware that it is up to me, Gospodin Minister. Carry out bombardment to plan.
Most targets we managed to hit by second salvo, though all were defended except Mexico City. Seemed likely, 98.3% by Mike's later calculation, the interceptors were exploding by radar fusing with set distances that incorrectly estimated vulnerability of solid cylinders of rock. Only three rocks were destroyed. Others were pushed off course and thereby did more harm than if not fired at all. New York was tough. Dallas turned out to be very tough. Perhaps difference lay in local control of interception, for it seemed unlikely that command post in Cheyenne Mountain was still effective. Perhaps we had not cracked their hole in the ground. Don't know how deep down it was, but I'll bet that neither men nor computers were still tracking. Dallas blew up, or pushed aside first five rocks. So I told Mike to take everything he could from Cheyenne Mountain and award it to Dallas, which he was able to do two salvos later. Those targets are less than 1,000 kilometers apart. Dallas's defenses cracked on next salvo. Mike gave their spaceport three more, already committed, then shifted back to Cheyenne Mountain. Data ones had never been nudged, and were still earmarked Cheyenne Mountain. He was still giving that battered mountain cosmic love pats when America rolled down and under Terra's eastern edge. I stayed with Mike all during bombardment, knowing it would be our toughest. As he shut down till time to dust Great China, Mike said thoughtfully,
"Man, I don't think we had better hit that mountain again."
"Why not, Mike?"
"It's not there any longer."
"Ah, you might divert its backups. When do you have to decide?"
"I would put them on Albuquerque and Omaha, but I'd best start now. Tomorrow we'll be busy. Man, my best friend, you should leave."
"Board with me, pal."
"In the next few hours, that first ship may launch missiles. When that happens, I want to shift all ballistic control to little David Sling. And when I do, you should be at Mari and Darim's site."
"What's fretting you, Mike?"
"That boy is accurate, man, but he's stupid. I want him supervised. Decisions may have to be made in a hurry, and there isn't anyone there who can program him properly. You should be there."
"Okay, if you say so, Mike. But if needs a fast program, we'll still have to phone you. Greatest shortcoming of computers isn't computer shortcoming at all, but fact that a human takes a long time, maybe hours, to set up a program that a computer solves in milliseconds. One best quality of Mike was that he could program himself, fast. Just explain problem. Let him program. Same wise and equally, he could program idiot son enormously faster than human could."
"But man, I want you there because you may not be able to phone me. The lines may be cut. So I've prepared a group of possible programs for Junior. They may be helpful."
"Okay. Print them out. And let me talk to Prof." Mike got Prof. I made sure he was private, then explained what Mike thought I should do. Thought Prof would object. Was hoping he would insist I stay through coming bombardment, invasion, whatever, those ships. Instead he said,
"Manuel, it's essential that you go. I've hesitated to tell you. Did you discuss odds with Mike?"
"Yet."
"I have continued to do so. To put it bluntly, if Luna City is destroyed, and I am dead and the rest of the government is dead,
even if all Mike's radar eyes here are blinded and he himself is cut off from the new catapult, all of which may happen under severe bombardment,
Even if all this happens at once, Mike still gives Luna even chances if little David Sling can operate, and you are there to operate it.
I said, "Da, boss. Yassa, massa.
You and Mike are stinkers and want to hug fun. Will do."
"Very good, Manuel."
Stayed with Mike another hour while he printed out meter after meter of programs tailored to other computer. Work that would have taken me 6 months even if able to think of all possibilities. Mike had it indexed and cross-referenced, with horribles in it I had hardly dare mention. I mean to say, given circumstances and seemed necessary to destroy, say, Paris, this told how. What missiles in what orbits. How to tell Junior to find them and bring them to target. Or anything. Was reading this endless document, not programs but descriptions of purpose of program, that headed each, when Wyo phoned.
"Manny, dear, has Prof told you about going to Mariandarum?"
"Yes, was going to call you."
"All right, I'll pack for us and meet you at Station East. When can you be there?"
"Pack for us? You're going?"
"Didn't Prof say?"
"No." Suddenly felt cheerful.
"I felt guilty about it, dear. I wanted to go with you, but had no excuse. After all, I'm no use around a computer, and I do have responsibilities here. Or did. But now I've been fired from all my jobs, and so have you."
"Huh?"
"You are no longer defense minister. Finn is. Instead, you are deputy prime minister."
"Well..."
"And deputy minister of defense, too. I'm already deputy speaker, and Stu has been appointed deputy secretary of state for foreign affairs. So he goes with us, too."
I'm confused."
"It's not as sudden as it sounds. Prof and Mike worked it out months ago. Decentralization, dear. The same thing that McIntyre has been working on for the Warrens. If there is a disaster at El City, Luna Free State still has a government. As Prof put it to me, Wyo, dear lady, as long as you three and a few congressmen are left alive, all is not lost. You can still negotiate on equal terms and never admit your wounds."
So I wound up as a computer mechanic. Stu and Wyo met me, with luggage, including rest of my arms, and we threaded through endless, unpressured tunnels and pea-suits, on a small, flatbed Rulligan, used to haul steel to site. Greg had Big Rulligan meet us for surface stretch, then met us himself when we went underground again. So, I missed attack on ballistic radars Saturday night.
28.
Captain of first ship, FNS Esperance, had guts. Late Saturday, he changed course, headed straight in. Apparently figured we might attempt jingle-jangle with radars, for he seems to have decided to come in close enough to see our radar installations by ship's radar, rather than rely on letting his missiles home in on our beams. Seems to have considered himself, ship, and crew expendable, for he was down to 1,000 kilometers before he launched. A spread then went straight for 5 out of 6 of Mike's radars, ignoring random jingle-jangle. Mike, expecting self soon to be blinded, turned Brody's boys loose to burn ship's eyes. Held them on it for 3 seconds before he shifted them to missiles. Result? 1 crashed cruiser. 2 ballistic radars knocked out by H missiles. 3 missiles killed. And 2 gun crews killed. 1 by H explosion. Other by dead missile that landed square on them. Plus 13 gunners with radiation burns above 800 Rentgen. Death level. Partly from flesh. Partly from being on surface too long. And must add, 4 members of Les Estrada Corps died with those crews. They elected to pea-suit and go up with their men. Other girls had serious radiation exposure, but not up to 800 R level. 2nd cruiser continued an elliptical orbit around and behind Luna. Got most of this from Mike after we arrived at Little David Sling early Sunday. He was feeling groused over loss of 2 of his eyes, and still more groused over gun crews. I think Mike was developing something like human conscience. He seemed to feel it was his fault that he had not been able to outfight 6 targets at once. I pointed out that what he had to fight with was improvised,
limited range, not real weapons.
How about self, Mike? You all right?
In all essentials. I have outlying discontinuities. One live missile chopped my circuits to Novi Leningrad. But reports routed through Luna City inform me that local controls tripped in satisfactorily, with no loss in city services. I feel frustrated by these discontinuities, but they can be dealt with later.
Mike, you sound tired.
Me, tired? Ridiculous. Man, you forgot what I am. I'm annoyed, that's all.
When will that second ship be back in sight?
In about 3 hours, if he were to hold earlier orbit. But he will not. Probability in excess of 90%. I expect him in about an hour.
A garrison orbit, huh? Oh-ho.
He left my side at azimuth, and course east 32 north. Does that suggest anything, man?
Try to visualize. Suggest they are going to land and try to capture you, Mike. Have you told Finn? I mean, have you told Prof to warn Finn?
Professor knows, but that is not the way I analyze it.
So? Well, suggest I had better shut up and let you work. Did so. Lenore fixed me breakfast while I inspected Junior, and I'm ashamed to say could not manage to grieve over losses with both Wyo and Lenore present. Mom had sent Lenore out to cook for Greg after Mila's death. Just an excuse. We're enough wives at site to provide home cooking for everybody. Was for Greg's morale, and Lenore's, too. Lenore and Mila had been close. Junior seemed to be right. He was working on South America, one load at a time. I stayed in radar room and watched, at extreme magnification, while he placed one in estuary between Montevideo and Buenos Aires. Mike could not have been more accurate. I then checked his program for North America, found not to criticize, locked it in, and took key. Junior was on his own, unless Mike got clear of other troubles and decided to take back control. Then sat and tried to listen to news both from Earthside and L-City. Coax cable from L-City carried phones. Mike's hookup to his idiot child, radio and video. Site was no longer isolated, but besides cable from L-City, Site had antennas pointed at Terra. Any Earthside news complex could pick up. We could listen to directly. Nor was this silly extra. Radio and video from Terra had been only recreation during construction, and this was now a standby in case that one cable was broken. FN official satellite relay was claiming that Luna's ballistic radars had been destroyed, and that we were now helpless. Wonder what people of Buenos Aires and Montevideo thought about that. Probably too busy to listen. In some ways, watersheds were worse than those where we could find open land. Luna City Lunatic's video channel was carrying Shinny telling Luna's outcome of attack by Esperance, repeating news while warning everybody that battle was not over. A warship would be back in our sky any moment. Be ready for anything. Everybody stay in pea suits. Shinny was wearing his, with helmet open. Take maximum pressure precautions. All units stay on red alert. All citizens not otherwise called by duty strongly urged to seek lowest level and stay there till all clear, and so forth. He went through this several times, then suddenly broke in. A flash. Enemy cruiser radar sighted, low and fast. It may Dido for Luna City. Flash, missiles launched, headed for ejection end of... Picture and sound chipped off. Might as well tell now what we at Little David Sling learned later. Second cruiser, by coming in low and fast, tightest orbit Luna's field permits, was able to start its bombing at ejection end of old catapult, 100 kilometers from catapult head and Brody's gunners, and knocked many rings out in minute it took him to come into sight and range of drill guns, all clustered around radars at catapult head. Guess he felt safe. Wasn't. Brody's boys burned eyes out and ears off. He made one orbit after that and crashed near Torricelli, apparently an attempt to land, for his jets fired just before crash. But our next news at news site was from Earthside. That brassy FN frequency claimed that our catapult had been destroyed.
True.
And that lunar menace was ended.
False.
And called on all loonies to take prisoner their false leaders and surrender themselves to mercy of Federated Nations.
Not existent. Mercy, that is.
Listened to it, and checked programming again, and went inside dark radar room. If everything went as planned, we are about to lay another egg in Hudson River, then targets in succession for 3 hours across the continent. In succession, because Junior could not handle simultaneous hits. Mike had planned accordingly. Hudson River was hit on schedule. Wonder how many New Yorkers were listening to FN newscast while looking at spot that gave it lie. 2 hours later, FN station was saying that lunar rebels had had missiles in orbit when catapult was destroyed, but that after those few had impacted, would be no more. When third bombing of North America was complete, I shut down radar. Had not been running steadily. Junior was programmed to sneak looks only as necessary, a few seconds at a time. I then had 9 hours before next bombing of Great China.
But not 9 hours for most urgent decision, whether to hit Great China again. Without information, except from Terra's news channels, which might be false, bloody, without knowing whether or not Warren's had been bombed, or Proof was dead or alive, double bloody. Was I now acting Prime Minister? Needed Proof. Head of State wasn't my glass of shit. Above all, needed Mike, to calculate facts, estimate uncertainties, project probabilities of this course or that. My word, didn't even know whether ships were headed toward us and, worse yet, was afraid to look. If turned radar on and used Junior for sky search, any warship he brushed with beams would see him quicker than he saw them. Warships were built to spot radar surveillance. So it heard. Hell, was no military man. Was computer technician who had bumbled into wrong field. Somebody buzzed door. I got up and unlocked. Was Wyo with coffee. Didn't say a word, just handed it to me and went away. Sipped it. There it is, boy. They're leaving you alone, waiting for you to pull miracles out of pouch. Didn't feel up to it. From somewhere back in my youth, heard Proof say, Manuel, when faced with a problem you do not understand, do any part of it you do understand, then look at it again. He had been teaching me something he himself did not understand very well, something in maths, but had taught me something far more important, a basic principle. Knew at once what to do first. Went over to Junior and had him print out predicted impacts of all loads in orbit. Easy, was a pre-program he could run any time against real-time running. While he was doing it, I looked for certain alternate programs in that long roll Mike had prepared. Then set up some of those alternate programs. No trouble. Simply had to be careful to read them correctly and punch them in without error. Made Junior print back for check before I gave him signal to execute. When finished, 40 minutes, every load and trajectory intended for an inland target had been retargeted for a seacoast city, with hedge to my bet that execution was delayed for rocks farther back. But unless I canceled, Junior would reposition them as soon as need be. Now horrible pressure of time was off me. Now could abort any load into ocean right up the last few minutes before impact. Now could think. So did. Then called in my war cabinet, Wyo, Stu, and Greg, my commander of armed forces, using Greg's office. Lenore was allowed to go in and out, fetching coffee and food, or sitting and saying nothing. Lenore is a sensible femme and knows when to keep quiet. Stu started it.
Yeah, Mr. Prime Minister, I do not think that Gretchana should be hit this time.
Never mind fancy titles, Stu. Maybe I'm acting, maybe not. But haven't time for formality.
Well, very well. May I explain my proposal?
Later. I explained what I had done to give us more time. He nodded and kept quiet. Our tightest squeeze is that we are out of communication, both Lunacity and Earthside. Greg, how about that repair crew?
Not back yet.
If Brake is near Lunacity, they may be gone a long time, if can repair at all. So must assume we'll have to act on our own. Greg, do you have an electronics tech who can jury-rig a radio that will let us talk to Earthside? To their satellites, I mean. That doesn't take much with right antenna. I may be able to help, and the computer tech I sent you isn't too clumsy either. Quite good, in fact, for ordinary electronics. A poor bloke I had once falsely accused of allowing a fly to get into Mike's guts. I had placed him in this job.
Harry Biggs, my power plant boss, can do anything of that sort, Greg said thoughtfully.
If he has the gear.
Get him on it. You can vandalize anything but radar and computer once we get all loads out of Catapult.
How many lined up?
23, and no more steel.
So, 23 it is, win or lose. I want them ready for loading. Might lob them off today.
They're ready. We can load as fast as the cat can throw them.
Good. One more thing. Don't know whether there's an FN cruiser, maybe more than one, in our sky or not. And afraid to look. By radar, I mean. Radar for Skywatch could give away our position. But must have Skywatch. Can you get volunteers for an eyeball Skywatch? And can you spare them?
Lenore spoke up.
I volunteer.
Thanks, honey. You're accepted.
We'll find him, said Greg.
Won't need FEMS.
Let her do it, Greg. This is everybody's show.
Explained what I wanted. Marion Darum was now in dark semilunar. Sun had set. Invisible boundary between sunlight and Luna's shadow stretched over us, a precise locus. Ships passing through our sky would wink suddenly into view going west, blink out going east. Visible part of orbit would stretch from horizon to some point in sky. If eyeball team could spot both points, mark one by bearing, other by stars, and approximate time by counting seconds. Junior could start guessing orbit. Two passes and Junior would know its period and something about shape of orbit. Then I would have some notion of when would be safe to use radar and radio and catapult. Did not want to loose a load with FN ship above horizon. Could be radar looking our way.
Perhaps too cautious, but had to assume that this catapult, this one radar, these 24 missiles were all that stood between Luna and total defeat, and our bluff hinged on them, never knowing what we had or where it was. We had to appear endlessly able to pound Terra with missiles, from source they had not suspected and could never find. Then as now, most Loonies knew nothing about astronomy. We're cave dwellers, go out to surface only when necessary. But we were lucky. Was amateur astronomer in Greg's crew. Cobber, who had worked at Richardson. I explained, put him in charge, let him worry about teaching eyeball crew how to tell stars apart. I got these things started before we went back to Talk. Well, Stu, why shouldn't we hit Great China?
I'm still expecting a word from Dr. Chen. I received one message from him, found her shortly before we were cut off from cities.
My word, why didn't you tell me?
I tried to, but you had yourself locked in, and I know better than to bother you when you are busy with ballistics.
Here's the translation.
Usual Lunoho Company address with a reference, which means it's for me, and that it has come through my parasagent. Our Darwin sales representative, that's Chen, informs us that your shipments have... Well, never mind the coding. He means the attack days while appearing to refer to last June were improperly packaged, resulting in unacceptable damage. Unless this can be corrected, negotiations for long-term contract will be seriously jeopardized.
Stu looked up.
All double talk. I take it to mean that Dr. Tran feels that he has his government ready to talk terms. But that we should let up on bombing Great China, or we may upset his apple cart.
Hmm. got up and walked around. Asked Wyo's opinion. Nobody knew Wyo's virtues better than I. But she oscillated between fierceness and too human compassion. And I had learned already that a head of state, even an acting one, must have neither. Ask Greg? Greg was a good farmer, a better mechanic, a rousing preacher.
I loved him dearly, but did not want his opinion.
Stu? I had had his opinion. Or did I? Stu, what's your opinion? Not Chen's opinion, but your own.
Stu looked thoughtful.
It's difficult, Manny. I am not Chinese. I have not spent much time in Great China, and can't claim to be an expert in their politics, nor their psychology, so I'm forced to depend on his opinion. Damn it, he's not a loony. His purposes are not our purposes. What does he expect to get out of it? I think he is maneuvering for a monopoly over lunar trade. Perhaps bases here too? Possibly an extraterritorial enclave. Not that we would grant that. Might, if we were hurting. He didn't say any of this. He doesn't say much, you know. He listens. Too well I know. Worried at it. More bothered each minute. News from Earthside had been droning in background. I had asked Wyo to monitor while I was busy with Greg. Wyo, hun, anything new from Earthside?
No, the same claims. We've been utterly defeated and our surrender is expected momentarily. Oh, there's a warning that some missiles are still in space, falling out of control, but with reassurance that the paths are being analyzed and people will be warned in time to avoid impact areas.
Anything to suggest that Prof or anybody in Luna City, or anywhere in Luna, is in touch with Earthside?
Nothing at all.
Damn. Anything from Great China?
No. Comments from almost everywhere else, but not from Great China.
Step to door.
Greg. Hey, Cobber, see if you can find Greg Davis. I need him.
Closed door.
Stu. We're not going to let Great China off.
So?
No.
Would be nice if Great China busted alliance against us. Might save us some damage. But we've got this far only by appearing able to hit them at will and to destroy any ship they send against us. At least I hope that last one was burned and we've certainly clobbered 8 out of 9.
We won't get anywhere by looking weak.
Not while FN is claiming that we are not just weak but finished. Instead, we must hand them surprises. Start with Great China, and if it makes Dr. Chen unhappy, we'll give him a kerchief to weep into. If we can go on looking strong, when FN says we're licked, then eventually some veto power is going to crack. If not Great China, then some other one. Stu bowed without getting up.
Very well, sir.
Greg came in. You want me, Manny? What mix with Earthside sender?
Harry says you have it by tomorrow. A crummy rig, he says, but push Watts through it, and we'll be heard.
Power we get. If he says tomorrow, then he knows what he wants to build. So we'll be today, say 6 hours. I'll work under him. Wild Hunt, will you get my arms? Want number 6 and number 3. Better bring number 5, too. And you stick with me and change arms for me. Stu want you to write some nasty messages. I'll give you a general idea, and you put acid in them. Greg, we are not going to get all those rocks into space at once. Ones we have in space now will impact in next 18-19 hours. Then, when FN is announcing that all rocks are accounted for and lunar menace is over, we crash into their newscast and warn of next bombings. Shortest possible orbits, Greg. 10 hours or less. So check everything on catapult, NH plant, and controls. With that extra boost, all has to be dead on. Wyo was back with arms. I told her, number 6, and added, Greg, let me talk with Harry.
6 hours later, Sender was ready to beam toward Terra. It was ugly job. Vandalized mainly out of a resonance prospector used in project's early stages. But could ride an audio signal on its radio frequency and was powerful. Stu's nastified versions of my warnings had been taped, and Harry was ready to zip-squeal them. All Terran satellites could accept high speed at 60 to 1, and had no wish to have our sender heated more seconds than necessary. Eyeball watch had confirmed fears. At least two ships were in orbit around Luna. So we told Great China that her major coastal cities would each receive a lunar present offset 10 kilometers into ocean. Busan, Tsingtao, Taipei, Shanghai, Saigon, Bangkok, Singapore, Jakarta, Darwin, and so forth. Except that old Hong Kong would get one smack on top of FN's Far East offices. So, kindly have all human beings move far back. Stu noted that human beings did not mean FN personnel. They were urged to stay at desks. India was given similar warnings about coastal cities, and was told that FN global offices would be spared one more rotation out of respect for cultural monuments in Agra, and to permit human beings to evacuate. I intended to extend this by another rotation as deadline approached, out of respect for proof. And then another, indefinitely. Damn it, they would build their home offices next door to the most overdecorated tomb ever built. Huh. But one that proved treasured. Rest of world was told to keep their seats. Game was going extra innings. But stay away from any FN offices anywhere. We were frothing at mouth, and no FN office was safe. Better yet, get out of any city containing an FN headquarters. But FN VIPs and Finks were urged to sit tight. Then spent next 20 hours coaching Junior into sneaking his radar peaks when our sky was clear of ships. Or believed to be. Napped when I could, and Lenore stayed with me, and woke me in time for next coaching. And that ended Mike's rocks, and we all went into alert. Well, we got first of Junior's rocks flung high and fast. Waited until certain it had gone hot and true. Then told Terra where to look for it, and where and when to expect it, so that all would know that FN's claims of victory were on a par with their century of lies about Luna. All in Stu's best, snotty, supercilious phrases delivered in his cultured accents. First one should have been for Great China, but was one piece of North American directorate we could reach with it. Her proudest jewel, Hawaii. Junior placed it in triangle formed by Maui, Molokai, and Lanai. I didn't work out programming. Mike had anticipated everything. Then pronto we got off 10 more rocks at short intervals. Had to skip one program, a ship in our sky, and told Great China where to look and when to expect them and where. Coastal cities we had neglected day before. Was down to 12 rocks, but decided it was safer to run out of ammunition than to look as if we were running out. So I awarded 7 to Indian coastal cities, picking new targets. And Stu inquired sweetly if Agra had been evacuated. If not, please tell us at once. But heaved no rock at it. Egypt was told to clear shipping out of Suez Canal. Bluff, was hoarding last 5 rocks. Then, waited. Impact at Lahaina Roads, that target in Hawaii, looked good at high mag. Mike could be proud of Junior. And waited. 37 minutes before first China Coast impact, Great China denounced actions of FN, recognized us, offered to negotiate, and I sprained a finger punching abort buttons. Then was punching buttons with sore finger. India stumbled over feet following suit. Egypt recognized us. Other nations started scrambling for door. Stu informed Terra that we had suspended, only suspended, not stopped, bombardments. Now get those ships out of our sky at once, now, and we could talk. If they could not get home without refilling tanks, let them land not less than 50 kilometers from any mapped warren, then wait for their surrender to be accepted. But clear our sky now. This ultimatum we delayed a few minutes to let a ship pass beyond horizon. We weren't taking chances. One missile,
and Luna would have been helpless. And waited. Cable crew returned. Had gone almost to Luna City. Found brick. But thousands of tons of loose rock impeded repair. So they had done what they could. Gone back to a spot where they could get through to surface. Erected a temporary relay in direction they thought Luna City lay. Sent up a dozen rockets at 10-minute intervals. And hoped that somebody would see. Understand. Aim a relay at it. Any communication? No. Waited. Eyeball Squad reported that a ship, which had been clock-faithful for 19 passes, had failed to show. 10 minutes later, they reported that another ship had missed expected appearance. We waited. And listened. Great China, speaking on behalf of all veto powers, accepted armistice and stated that our sky was now clear. Lenore burst into tears and kissed everybody she could reach. After we steadied down, a man can't think when women are grabbing him, especially when five of them are not his wives. A few minutes later,
when we were all coherent, I said,
Stu, want you to leave for Luna City at once. Pick your party. No women. You'll have to walk surface last kilometers. Find out what's going on. But first get them to aim a relay at ours and phone me. Very good, sir. We were getting him outfitted for a tough journey. Extra air bottles, emergency shelter, so forth. When Earthside called me, on frequency we were listening to because message was, learned later, on all frequencies up from Earthside. Private message. Proof to Manny. Identification. Birthday Bastille and Sherlock's sibling. Come home at once. Your carriage waits at your new relay. Private message. Proof to... And went on repeating. Harry. Da, boss. Message Earthside. Tape and squeal. We still don't want them ranging us. Private message. Manny to Proof. Brass cannon. On my way. Ask them to acknowledge, but use only one squeal. 29. Stu and Greg drove on way back, while Wyo and Lenore and I huddled on open flatbed, strapped to keep from falling off. It was too small. Had time to think. Neither girl had suit radio, and we could talk only by helmet touch. Awkward. Began to see, now that we had won, parts of Proof's plan that had never been clear to me. Inviting attack against Catapult had spared Warrens. Hoped it had. That was plan. But Proof had always been cheerfully indifferent to damage to Catapult. Sure, had a second one. But far away and difficult to reach. Would take years to put a tube system to new Catapult. High mountains all way. Probably cheaper to repair old one, if possible. Either way, no grain shipment to Terra in meantime. And that was just what Proof wanted. Yet never once had he hinted that his plan was based on destroying old Catapult. His long-range plan, not just revolution. He might not admit it now, but Mike would tell me, if put to him flatly. Was or was not this one factor in odds? Food right predictions and all that, Mike. Would he tell me? That ton-for-ton deal, Proof had expounded it Earthside, had been argument for a Terran catapult. But privately, he had no enthusiasm for it. Once he had told me, in North America, Yes, Manuel, I feel sure it would work. But if built, it would be temporary. There was a time, 2 centuries ago, when dirty laundry used to be shipped from California to Hawaii, by sailing ship, mind you, and clean laundry returned. Special circumstances. If we ever see water and manure shipped to Luna and grain shipped back, it will be just as temporary. Luna's future lies in her unique position at the top of a gravity well over a rich planet, and in her cheap power and plentiful real estate. If we loonies have sense enough in the centuries ahead to remain a free port and to stay out of entangling alliances, we will become the crossroads for 2 planets. 3 planets. The entire solar system. We won't be farmers forever. They met us at Station East, and hardly gave time to get pissuits off. Was returned from Earthside over again, screaming mobs, and being ridden on shoulders. Even girls—